guilt and shame away.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with
James Rich.
And you're listening to Kingdom Recovery on WCNO 89.9. It's 5 o'clock, and we're so excited to be here. Right, James?
Glory, glory.
Yes, yes, yes. And we've been talking about the reason why I'm going right in. First, let me just give my number, just in case anybody would like to reach out to me, maybe get some books, because we have some books that we give out, or if they like prayer, or if they have a question, they want to share a testimony, you can reach me at 631-745-7980. So one of the reasons why I'm like, let's go get right into it, because I really want to get to the nine fruits of the Spirit. We've had like 3 weeks that we've been trying to get there, and we get into this whole other thing. I mean, it's all Holy Spirit is, you know, doing something, but I'd like to try to, you know, get as far as we can today, because I feel like the second step has been going on for a while. So, and that is, the second step is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us back to sanity. So without the Holy Spirit in us, we're insane people. That's the bottom line. That's like, that's the biggest revelation I got. Wow, what was I doing all those years? I was cuckoo crazy, you know, in my thinking. Even the good thoughts, they weren't being managed properly, I should say, under the right care. Of supervision, mm-hmm. Right? The Holy Spirit comes and he tries to, you know, guide us and lead us into the right direction, into the right supply of God. So I want to start by reading Galatians 5, I'm going to say 16 first. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is really important because there's the answer. Ding, ding, ding. When Paul says, why do I say what I say? Why do I do what I do when I want to do this? Because the flesh, the natural man is at war with the spirit, the spiritual things, the right things to do. Because we're spiritual beings, so we need spiritual supply. And the only divine spiritual supply we can get that's healthy for our spirit man is Holy Spirit supply from heaven, Father God, Jesus Christ. Now, we can get natural, I was teaching on Wednesday, a natural spiritual influence, and that means senses of the natural, like when we go to psychics and all that stuff, but that's all demonic. So because we're spiritual beings by creation, we are seeking spiritual things. That's why people get caught up in wrong things like astronomy, right? All that
the enemy's done good
at witchcraft, and it's so
the church that the power's done away with, and then comes along and convinces them, well, you can have power, can have supernatural, mm-hmm. You just have to go here,
right?
To me,
and he's really not feeding the spiritual man; he's really feeding the natural man. That in that when the enemy is when we're giving permission to believe the lies of the enemy, that, you know, if I go get my cards read, if I play the Ouija board, if I read my horoscopes, all those things keep us in our natural senses, and it's really not the food, the fruit, of the spirit, which is the nourishing good fruit that our spirit man needs. And that's the spiritual, divine spiritual influence we're all looking for, but we won't know until we get filled with the Holy Spirit and accept Jesus. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is with our spirit, spirit to spirit. But there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling. The indwelling is what is spirit's fill. The infilling is from the inside out. He wants to infill us. But if we're not feeding ourselves the Word of God, time with God, all those things that God has supplied us, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, we're going to grieve Him. We're going to quench Him. We're going to not ignore Him. You know, we're going to ignore Him, and we're not going to let Him lead and guide us. So we're going to look for natural resources to fill us spiritually, and it never works. It doesn't work. You can't fix a spiritual problem with a natural remedy. It just, we're not created that way. God didn't create us that way. So our whole being, when we're born, is in search for God, basically. He's the only one that can fill us in spirit. So in that same Galatians 5 at 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, turning the page, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is so important because this is the directions to live a spiritually fit, healthy, growing daily life, walking out our sanctification. So we get everything we need. Now God wants us to walk it outside of us, everything that's inside of us, outside of us daily, okay? And that takes guidance and listening and rebuke and change. It's a mindset and a behavioral change. When our mind changes, our behaviors will change, because what we believe, we will be. We will speak it. We will act it. So we have to change that belief system, okay? So the whole thing is walking by faith, walking in spirit, with spirit. So we're going to talk about the first three for me when I wrote this down is the internal and inward character fruit of who I am in Christ. Okay, so love. We talked a little bit about that last week, love. But it's God's love. It's divine love. We're looking for love. We're all created for these things that the fruit of the Spirit gives us, right? But we're looking in the wrong places for joy, for love, for peace. And that's what I've done my whole life until I was filled. And it wasn't even when I accepted Jesus, it wasn't until I surrendered my, you know, it's a surrender. It's a turn my life over to the care of God, that third step. But if I don't know I have the Holy Spirit, the ability is in me to be able to do that, I'm going to keep trying and I'm going to keep failing. So it's really the Holy Spirit power in me that's able to do those things. But I have to allow Him. And the only way I'm going to allow somebody permission to do something in my life that I would in the past call control me is if I really know that person and I really know they love me and they're going to take care of me. That's why it's so important we know God loves us and we have everything we need. So then it's easier to turn it over to the Holy Spirit to be able to lead and guide us and say, your way is better than my way. Your will is better than my will. Your word's better than my word, you know. So the love we're talking about is the unselfish, unconditional love. It's the, spontaneous love. God, it's not planned. We can't think like, okay, I'm going to plan to do this. It's, you never know, like when you're walking, it's you get the call. And because you're in such commune with God and you understand His love because He's given it to you, He poured His love out in your heart. So when you have that relationship, that's why it's so important. It's me and God first so that I can grow the fruit. The fruit grows inside first, and then it plucks out where it can come out of my mouth, out of my mind, out of my actions, you know, and be boldly be able to know and be confident that this is the word of God and know that in faith it's already done. So it's not even me. It's just letting others know God's already done it, you know, and we're sharing our testimony. So this is an unselfish love, just like Jesus. He's our example of unconditional love. All right. He didn't judge people. He loved people. He, you know, yes, he rebuked people because it was out of line for their safety. I mean, it's like discipline out of love. And when you know God's love, and I shared this yesterday, even rebuke comes from a loving place. You feel loved in that rebuke. You know, you feel like, oh, he's really telling me something. He wants, you know, me to change it so that my life changes, so that the situation can change for the better. So you don't take it as I don't anymore. I mean, I can't say all the time. I'm not God. I don't know what's going to happen. I can leave here and get very offended over something, you know. But I try to remember, how's that? That his love is, it's all out of love. So if it's come, even when it's coming out of somebody that you don't particularly care for, it's God's love. When you know it hits you, it's God's love is that, what, the arrow, the sword of the spirit, the arrow, and it's always looking for that broken place, because that's the healing agent. So, you know, when it's broken, only God's love, only his will, his word can fix it. So that's the whole, we're like, what is it called? When you'd go to
a bullseye.
We're a bullseye for God. He's like, yeah, he's looking for a, thank you, James.
That's for the thing I thought. I said, no, she don't mean that.
Yeah, I do. So, so the fruit of the spirit is divine spiritual influence. It's the power and ability to feed our spiritual man. The spiritual man is the only spiritual food. God's word, God's fruit, his character is the fruit of God. And his word is his will, his way, his thoughts, his ideas, his intent for our lives, so that we can fulfill our life purpose, basically, why we were created, you know, in his image and likeness. Okay. And then there's the natural influence that I said, and that's trying to feed the spiritual man, but it really only feeds our natural man, our flesh, and it makes us more hungry. It never satisfies. So we're going to need more and more of that. You know, we're always chasing it. So 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Praise the Lord. So his love makes you whole. That's all it is. It's his love for, and if you seek him first, you're seeking his love. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ways to love. Seek how God wants to express his love, because that's his righteousness. You know, his character is all based out of love. How does he want to express himself through you? And only the Holy Spirit can tell you that, you know. There's that scripture that says, I have to go. There's so many things I want to tell you, Jesus says, but I can't right now. And not because we wouldn't have been able to even understand it without the Holy Spirit. At that point, he was still here with us. So it would be like him just talking like the Charlie Brown teacher. Wah, 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 wah. We would have been like, okay, we can get a little bit of a head understanding, but we can't get that heart understanding without the Holy Spirit. He opens our heart. But we have to give him permission. And then what does it say? Open the door and I will sit in you and dine in your heart. Hallelujah. Want to say something?
No.
Okay. So through Jesus Christ, our greatest goal is to do all things in love. So that's the whole purpose and plan of God, is that we walk in love, talk in love, act in love,
amen,
think in love, right? Mm-hmm. Sleep in love, wake up in love. So 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. So everything of this world is temporary. That's why, and I think it's like I really feel like I there's so much I wanted to share on Wednesday more, you know, because like we're limited here on the earth, time and everything, you know, even how much we can, like I was sharing about the highest beyond mountains. As you know, the earth is the womb of the world of seed. It's the earth that activates seed, right? So the highest point that the world can offer us is the mountain. But God is so much higher than that. You know, he wants us to think in that heavenly realm. And the only way we can get to that heavenly realm is being led by the Holy Spirit. God can give us the views of heaven, of God's eyes, what he sees, of what Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. We are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. We get to see that if we surrender ourselves. And that's, you know, coming into the third step. This is why I'm saying it so much, because if we don't recognize that the Holy Spirit is in us and he gives us everything we need, it's going to be very hard to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as we understand him. We don't know. If we don't understand him, we're going to be very confused about what we do, you know. So so the whole goal here is to try to help people get a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how he's available to us daily. He's with us all the time. He never leaves us or forsakes us. You know, I said something on Wednesday that God's not before us or behind us. He's right in us right now. And what I meant by that, I mean, he's sovereign. He's everywhere. But in our limited flesh, he's a now God. He's not going to bring us. We can't come out of ourselves and go to the future. And we can't go behind and live in the past. So that's why he says, why do you worry about that? And why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about what you had yesterday? Be in this moment, because this is the now moment. This is the only thing that we can do differently, this moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus was trying to say. We're all over the place. Be in the now moment, because God is right now in you. Okay. Yes, he's sovereign. He's all over the place. He's omnipresent. He's omni, all those things. But in your personal relationship with God, he's in you now. Everything in your life is right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now. You know, you can shift everything right now, which is incredible when you get to that revelation. So the next one is divine joy. The Holy Spirit gives us joy. Now, there's natural joy, of course, but if we're looking for natural joy to feed a spiritual problem, we're going to be very disappointed in the end. The only one that can fulfill the joy is divine joy, is the Holy Spirit. It's God in us, right? And this is a happiness or a contentment that lasts even when there are no reasons to feel like you should. It's not about feelings. It's an internal joy. I believe Jesus felt that even when he was hanging on the cross, knowing what he was doing was going to produce in the family of the kingdom. You know, like he was looking out saying, oh my God, you know, this is almost exciting for him, even though it was very painful and he had to go through all that. There was a part of him that was, we separate ourselves in holiness, right? Separate ourselves in that place of separation. He knows the joy of what it was, what the end results, the heavenly view was going to be in his sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Right, James?
Amen.
Amen. So Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So, you know, James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you meet trials and various kinds. So that's exactly what I'm saying. So there are some things that sometimes you got to go through, especially like, okay, as a parent, or even, okay, James, you do cars. Like when you first get a car and you take it apart, you're like, oh my God, what's this? But the joy of knowing what the end result is going to be, you know, mm-hmm. Like we have to, God, if we know the ending, because, you know, God, he's not going to tell us the steps to get there all the time right away. But if we know that the ending is that vision, the promise, whatever you promised us, right? That's what we focus on. That's the joy of the trial, knowing the ending, knowing that you're victorious. You're going to come out of this on the other side in completion. Hallelujah. So Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it's in that joy that we can endure, basically. It's his strength. It's during the trial, during the turmoil, during a situation. You know, it's even as at parenting, you know, I use James as an excuse because I wanted to get people, you know, thinking that maybe aren't parents. It's easy to say as a parent because we have a vision of where we want to be. But there's some trials that take place, you know, that you have to go through with your kids to get to that other place. And then they're waking up at 8:30. You're like, yes, to show up to work. You're like, thank you, Jesus. Could it be that everything you pour in, like, you know, God poured his love into our hearts. He poured his heart, his love in us, right? So, and then he's probably saying the same thing. Yes, there she is. She's she's getting it, you know? So it's the same thing. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that kind of sums up what I was sharing about, you know, Jesus knowing the end plan, even though it meant a lot of suffering for him. And he endured it anyway, because the joy gave him the strength to be able to do that in knowing. Hallelujah. So, and now let's talk about divine peace. And of course, there's natural peace. And I used to look for that a lot in drugs. Tranquilizer, you know, but divine peace is something that's beyond this world, the highest mountain. Hallelujah. And this is a tranquility of spirit that doesn't change as circumstances alter. So you stay sound minded, basically, you know, you stay steadfast in what you know God has. You stay bold, you stay confident, and you stay steadfast in knowing what God has already done and what his promises are. Yes and amen. You stay in that yes and amen. It is finished. It's complete. You know, testament, I shared that testament is the test, and ament is so be it. Truth, truly, serve intellectually, to help the intellectual disability, you know, disabled. I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit is our ament. He helps us because we're not mentally capable of doing the things that God has for us without his guidance. Hallelujah. And ament also means pollinated by the wind, a female, and we are the dirt. So we're the female womb for God's seed and the Holy Spirit to impregnate us with the information we need to grow fruit, grow his fruit. Hallelujah. So when we listen and we meditate on these things, when we think privately about these things, and this is what brings us peace also. We sometimes have to, you know, just meditate on what God's saying and spend time with God and let the peace that surpasses all understanding, because we can't learn that kind of peace. We can only get to a certain natural level. And usually, if we're going to get to a natural level, it's using natural resources. So they're temporary. So Philippians 4:7-9 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your spirit and soul is how I read that. So we listen for God's direction, his instruction, until you find peace in him. We seek his way first. And that's how I make decisions. If it doesn't settle down in my spirit, you know, then I wait, because it really works if you wait and you wait upon the Lord for the directions. Like, I won't answer someone. I'll say, I need to get back to you, or I won't respond to something or make a decision immediately, you know, yielding back and waiting. Sometimes he gives you a name to call, like call someone and talk about something. I mean, God gives us everything we need through people, places, and things. If we know him, we can identify him through those things. But if we don't know him, we can be manipulated through those things. So we want to know God intimately. You know, we want him to see into me, you see. You know, no secrets hiding me from God. My secrets, my shame, my, you know, my sins. I don't want that. So we deal with them right away. We should be dealing with them right away. Hallelujah. So the understanding that surpasses understanding is the natural or spiritual intellect that we choose to use. So we can study the Bible naturally and get to a certain place where we can recite it and debate people. But if you're going to debate people, you're probably in the natural way of knowing the Bible. Spiritual, the Holy Spirit, I know for me.
Or religious spirit.
Yeah, or religious, corrected me. And God was like, I don't need you to defend me, basically. You know, because we have to represent love. And debating and arguing is not love. So I had to retreat from that kind of behavior. And it was a few years ago, you know, many years ago, when I would go visit my family, because they're from my old belief system. And everybody's changed since then. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, but in the beginning, I'm talking like, you know, 14, 13 years ago, what, save maybe 14, 15 years. I felt like I needed to prove, you know.
Well, I used to tell you before you
Don't pass the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just love them. Just show them love.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? That was an opportunity, not a sacrifice, an opportunity for me to practice God, you know, because I had to, I could afford it and said, no, you know, I'm going to say that, but it's not even satisfying anymore. You know, what am I doing? You know, so.
Some people, they do apologetics and they're debating and arguing and they'll be like, man, you told that guy. The guy just leaves mad. He don't.
Exactly.
They don't. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not like they got the information. So I'm going to change my whole entire life around. It's easier to change somebody for somebody to see a change when you're showing them a change. You know, like wait. You know. So
And that show they had, they walked around asking them people that were out there yelling at all with the signs. How long have you been out here? 12 years. How many people led the Lord? Well, none. You think maybe you're doing something wrong? Well, no, could not come off it.
Right. So in Philippians 4, 7 through 9, I want to finish reading, and because I only read 4, 7. So now we're up to 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. So God tells us, Jesus tells us, you know, how the word of God tells us how to obtain the peace of God by doing these things. What's ever true, being in truth, being noble, you know, and that's honorable, just, pure, lovely, being of good report, making good, sober choices, right? Good virtue and things that are praiseworthy. You meditate, you think on these things, you see how he behaved, you see how his followers behaved, and how we should be behaving. And that's where we can get our peace from, too. That surpasses all understanding. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's almost like we use it as an example. If I'm not speeding on the highway, I have a lot more peace than when I'm speeding. And I pass a cop, right? Then you're like, pass a cop. Am I going to get pulled over? Oh, my God. You know, and then you pray and you're like, oh, Lord, please. So that's what we're talking about, too. You want that settled, I'm doing the right thing for the right thing. And not, I'm not working to do the right thing. I'm doing the right thing because the right thing's inside of me to do. He lives in me. He, righteousness lives in me. So we want to have the Holy Spirit be able to infill us, right? From the Spirit up and out of us. He indwells us, but we can grieve him and never let him infill us and pour out to others the way he poured out, God poured out the Holy Spirit to us, his love in our hearts. Hallelujah. So Romans 15:13 says, now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So the next three we're going to talk about, and once again, it's divine influence or natural influence. And when I say influence, supply, where are we getting our food chain from? Is it people, places, and things of the world, or is it Father, Son, Holy Spirit of the Word of God? And this is the character, the fruit of express, as expressed towards brotherly love. It's God now in us pouring out for others. So the first one is, who am I in Christ? Now it's, who am I with others? Okay? And this is where the Holy Spirit really comes to help us out, because we've been acting, well, I'll speak for myself. I was acting like a fool for a very long time, controlling people, being a brat, entitlement, jealousy, envy, strife, division, and things such as those. Lustful acts, you know, not sound mind. I was that scripture, mm-hmm. You know, thank you, Jesus, that we can talk like this and feel confident, you know, that I can say, thank you, Jesus, that you saved me out of that wretched place. Amen. Hallelujah. So patience, long suffering, enduring, this is not getting upset or angry when one thinks he has a reason to do so, or when someone does you wrong. Includes perseverance and not becoming upset or angry when one thinks he is right or being mistreated. Okay, it goes beyond human capacity. This is definitely Holy Spirit. Patience, long-suffering, all those characteristics are big, because we don't realize how subtle we can be affected by impatience, tolerance, you know, like that stuff is very easily manipulating, can be easily manipulating us, mm-hmm. You know. So First Peter, and I wrote here, enduring, it's okay. So enduring through pain, suffering, through love, through unity, through all these things that God's doing, even when it's like, you know, because he's calling us to love and unite. But you might have other people that struggle in those areas. Are you going to be willing to be patient? You know, are you going to be willing to long suffer it, wait it out, and pray for those people so that they can, and be a power of example so that they can see what it looks like? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:20 says, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:11-12 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. So this is how we also grow spiritually more mature. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So, for patience and long-suffering with joy, all right, his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So, we have to be happy even in the process. you know.
Do our best.
We do our best. Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one with one another in love. So it's tolerating one another in love, bearing, helping others. It's bearing, it's carrying others, lifting others up in love when things are getting difficult. That's good for churches, families, business, you know, where you, your workplace. And people, a lot of people, you know, not everybody knows Christ, but you do. I do. So it's, we have to be the ones to bring him where we go. You know, it's you. If you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's you. He's calling you. That's the calling. So he did call you by name. Now you have to just say, here I am, Lord. Use me. and then let his fruit lead and guide you. Hallelujah. You want to say something, James?
No, I was just thinking. No, I was thinking about when I was like 17, I worked surveying, and we had a crew. We had a van. The boss, people would pull out or just something that where everybody get mad, and he would just laugh. I was just thinking about him because he really had the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
And I didn't. We never talked about the Lord. We didn't have a clue. I didn't know the Lord. Not really. And you say, man, how can you not get mad? And he'd say, takes 17 muscles to frown and wow. 3 must smile, something like that. He has something he'd say. And he'd just laugh when they pull out. He'd say, I never seen anybody ever get mad. And I mean, there was reasons he should have with people.
Yes. Yeah. So you see how
I've seen him in church later when I say.
Oh. So you see how when we get to know God intimately, I can think of some people in my life in the past. Like, you know, my first sponsor, I believe she was a Christian. I mean, there were things that she said that were, you know, and the way she treated me. She brought me into her home. Like, there were things, you know, you be part of a family. She showed me how to, like, be part of a family, you know. Like, there were just certain things, but she never shared that with me. You know, I guess we all, that's why it's so important that we do share our faith with people. You know, when people say, well, how are you able to do that? Like, I went to go give blood yesterday. I had to get some blood done, and I talked about my testimony. And then all of a sudden that person's like, amen, you know, like, so it's, and if they're not, you so what? You leave and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, he healed me, you know, everything. I'm not on anything. Amen. You know, I go to the doctor for my physical and she's like, okay, so isn't it awesome? Yeah. Praise the Lord.
There was a lady in a Bible study. I went through teaching and deliverance and stuff. And around the end, she went in the pastor. The pastor's there, but it was their house. And guy says his wife has something to share. And she starts sharing, and I think it's from a hysterectomy she had had earlier or something, but they didn't know why. But she just went into massive rheumatoid arthritis, swelling everywhere. Her blood was all messed up. Couldn't wear a wedding ring. And they had some adopted kids that were special needs, several of them. And she's crying and talking, and I just led her through the prayer. I was behind her, so I couldn't see her, but there was only like 6 people in the Bible study. And I just prayed, led her through forgiving herself, repenting for being hard on herself. And then I'm like, stand up. And she's just sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden I hear, I don't need to. I'm like, what's going on? All the pain just left.
Praise God.
She goes back to the doctor. This is what made me think of it. She goes back to the doctor. The next meeting, after she went to the doctor, she goes, the doctor was freaking out. And he's looked at my blood, and this really bugged me. Because she's like, and all my blood was perfect, and he kept going on and on and on. He's been a doctor over 30 years. This is not possible. This is not possible. And I said, well, did you tell him about God healing? No, I was afraid to say anything. No, I'm like, what?
And I think maybe that's true, like what you're saying. I think that's probably maybe even my sponsor, because I was just getting sober. She probably didn't want to.
Yeah, she'd probably be careful because they.
You know what I'm saying? And that's, unfortunately, that's sad, you know, because like, and I'm not saying, you know, my journey is my journey. I don't have any kind of, you know, anything with it. But because of that reason, fear of man, that's what it is, you know, and, or like the religious, you know, like spirit or whatever, whatever. But she didn't share that. And I feel like it might have been that she didn't want to chase me away. But that's why relationships are so important, you know, to develop a relationship with another person. I mean, I was living in her house at that point, so I think it would have been a good opportunity to say something to me, you know. But it is what it is. And when you were saying that, I was thinking the one thing I did tell her is I said something tried to attack. This is what I say to the doctor. I see it like once a year. I said something tried to attack my arm yesterday. And you know what I did? I grabbed it. I said, "You get off me right now."
You said that to who?
The doctor.
Yesterday?
Yeah. I said, "You get off me right now in Jesus' name." And she looked at me. I said, "And it did." And I'm healed. And she's like, "Very nice."
Praise God.
You know, if it's entertaining, whatever. She thinks about it, I'm sure, you know, like, okay.
You know, when I'm telling stuff to get off me or get out of my shop, I'll... Yeah. My phone sometimes is sticking on lately, and I'm like thinking, man, if they hear me, some
God.
Of the stuff I yell at the enemy in here.
Yeah. So, okay, so another one that we, that God uses us to express to who we are with others also. I mean, they're all for everything in our life, every affair, but I feel like these are the ones that really are helpful when we're dealing with other people, is kindness, gentleness, grace and mercy. You know, giving other people. This is a kind of attitude expressed towards other people. It is not a weakness of conviction or character, okay? When we're kind and we give mercy and grace to turn the other cheek, you know, give a cloak, let, you know, for the sake of unity, give mercy and grace to someone. We are called to live in Christ by this, okay? 2 Corinthians 6:6-7 says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Praise the Lord. So we are called to live by that in Christ. Hallelujah. So divine goodness. And kindness, you know, when we, when we're doing kindness out of a natural place, it's usually self-driven.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the difference, you know, being kind just for the sake of God, for his goodness. It's for his benefit. Hallelujah.
It's easy to love the loving. And like Heidi Baker said, she has this, like when the Lord said you have to learn to love, she goes, it's easy to love people until they're living in your home, stealing your stuff, throwing up in your car. She goes, and it's a little harder because she started living among them because the Lord had told her she didn't understand the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. I feel like God, there were things in my life that I brought people like in my home, you know, the stealing of very big things. That was a way of purging my old man thinking and shifting because I had to forgive. Because it, you know, you have to, and then give grace and mercy. And if it comes up, I always think like, well, I hope her life turned around for the better. You know, like things like that, especially when you know the people, you know, and you have to forgive, choose to forgive. So goodness, divine goodness. This is doing and being good to other people, like the example of God has given us. By sending his son to die for us even when we were sinners, okay? It's doing good, not because they're good, not because they're, you know, not for your own benefit, but even when they're in their worst situation, we try to be a helping hand, do good, God's good in their life. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and work and the work of faith with power through you. It's his goodness through you. Ephesians 5:9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So when we're operating and we're allowing the Holy Spirit power, fruit to operate through us, It's in all goodness of God, the spirit of goodness, right, his righteousness and his truth. Anything outside of that is not divinely inspired goodness. All right? And that's spiritual food. Goodness is spiritual food because goodness in the natural was a way to feed my natural man. You know, I'm okay. I'm doing good. That wasn't, it's different. You know, if I do these things, that means I'm a good person. That's not the same goodness. That's a flesh fulfilling supply of goodness. Okay? And it's restricted by here on earth. We're feeding the earth, basically, our dirt.
And when she says you have to forgive us, which she's referring to, we're not forgiven unless we forgive. The Bible's very clear on that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And much sickness comes out of forgiveness. And that's why we said the rheumatoid, I let her through the self-forgiveness, because that is the roots causes of rheumatoid arthritis. Regular arthritis is usually unforgiveness towards other people. I haven't had to pray for arthritis in years. I just lead them through forgiveness and at least.
So when we forgive, it's evidence that we know God forgave us, because we can't forgive without really being confident that, you know, we are forgiven too. Because it's his forgiveness coming, trusting his forgiveness to come to flow out of us.
Yeah, probably. I've had a lot of people, as I register on the phone so much, ask, well, how do you forgive? I say, if your relationship vertical has to be more than your horizontal relationship.
Amen.
If you're just trying to do it and you're not doing it for the Lord, you're not going to be able to do that. Why would you? Unless you're trying to get rid of a sickness you know is from it. Because I look at it like I'm giving the Lord a kiss. I mean,
amen.
We can say I love you all day, but if you love me, you'll obey me. And we do that. He knows we're only doing it for our love for him.
Amen.
And being obedient to him. And it's like an intimate hug.
Yeah. Amen. So the character, the fruit, in its relationship to God, and that's who I am unto the Lord, right, in my relationship with him. And one of them is faithfulness, divine faithfulness or natural faithfulness. Am I just, you know, being faithful in the natural sense, like I, which comes with, when I see it, I'll believe it kind of thinking. So here the idea of faithfulness to the Lord and in what one does for him, produced by loving the Lord, faith that is dependent on the love of the Lord, praise to God. So there's three types of faith. There's the measure of faith, and that salvation moves me, right? That moved in me. Salvation, I was able to be born again. There's the gift of faith that can move mountains. So measure of faith is what moves me. Gift of faith moves mountains. And fruit of faith moves God himself through me. Hallelujah. So praise to God is Luke 8:15. But the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, and that's obedient, honorable, in reverence, fear and trembling of the Lord, right? Keep it and bear fruit with patience. So that's the character of a God, you know. Patience is a big one because we want to have it now. Everything's so quick.
Fast food.
Yeah, we're just like, we want to be satisfied right away. And, you know, the generations now are born into that. Like, you know, they're born into just, they can find out information faster than we had, like, you know, encyclopedias. I mean, it took us a little time. Dictionaries, we had to know the alphabet.
The main thing is having to cook.
Yeah.
Or there was fast food.
Oh, yeah, right.
Get food out.
Amen. Yeah.
Me, because I eat plain stuff.
Yeah.
The food would take so long as you ordered it. So I didn't eat half the time because I'd go to the family, get hamburgers, and I couldn't eat the things.
Right.
Try to wipe the stuff off and I could not eat.
Right. So, like,
we just stay hungry.
Yeah. It's like, have it your way. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special Lord is don't upset us.
2 LP patty special sauce, yeah. Lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, sesame seed. But man, it's funny how that stuck.
Yeah.
Remember.
So Luke 8, Isaiah 25:1 says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:16-17 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Praise the Lord. That's important. It's our inner man that we want to feed spiritual food. That Christ might, may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. So if we don't get the concept that all the love we're ever going to need in this world, in this lifetime, is already in us, complete. He's completed it. It is finished. It's in you. His love, all the love, you, not a person, place, or thing in the world can give you any more love than God already gave you when you said, "Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come live inside of me. I want to serve you, Father God." Right? You got everything you needed. And he loves you. And he loved you before then. But now he loves in you. He's allowed to love in you and out of you. Hallelujah. So gentleness. And this is meekness. And meekness is a very powerful character. Because it's being humble.
Yeah.
And this
not
is
weakness.
No, not weakness.
Not meek. Fear, man. Everybody right. thinks fear. First time I taught, I was
not like coward. Yeah, you don't coward yourself. No.
Yeah, I was nervous.
Courageous.
First time I taught and did deliverance, and this lady come up. "That was so good. You were so meek." Or I think she said humble. I'm like, that was not humility. That was fear. Don't mix the two.
So this is not having a higher opinion of oneself than one should. Not getting angry easily. It is seen in our relationship with others. Love refines. It's refined, pure love, right?
And
gentleness.
A good saying is, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking less about yourself.
Amen. So the character of the new man in Matthew 11:20-29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." It's part of who he is. So when we put his clothes on, when we put on the mind of Christ, this is what's going to pour out of us. We're dressing the inner man, okay? We're always so busy trying to dress the outer man that we're missing the outfit. We're actually walking around naked. You know,
this outfit is not even us.
No. So bear and share burdens with others. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual," because you're spiritually fit, right? You're getting spiritual supply every day, divine spiritual guidance. "Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So if you're not spiritually fit, you're going to feel fear of man. You're going to feel, you know, like you're not equipped. God equips you for everything. Okay. Now we can get that first thought, but we're supposed to take captive that thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ, of God's word. So God says that he will fulfill everything, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So you just say that word. You are equipped. You have everything you need. You have to, it's by faith that we can be motivated. We get motivated. We can manifest. Hallelujah. Self-control. This is a big one. All right? Because we're all. This is a personal discipline or a control in all aspects of one's life, especially with passions. Self-control, sound-minded, turning your will and your life over, giving up your fleshly desires. It also relates to things like the compulsion of food and drink and all these things, you know, FaceTime, whatever that is, YouTube and electronics, the use of leisure time and the TV, the way we handle our money. We need to be managing properly. Self-control, sound mind is Christ-minded, okay? And he's not reckless and he's not mismanaging. So, I mean, it doesn't mean It's not a matter of being a good person or a bad person. It's about prioritizing things in your life. It brings sound-mindedness when you're doing things in the order God has for you to do it. All right? And I think we're gonna stop at that, and then we'll do closing next week, and we'll get into step three. But once again, you're listening to WCNO. This is Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with James
Wrench.
And if you want to reach out, we have some books from Pastor Tom. You can reach out to me, and I can get them to you. And you can call me at 631-745-7980. We are almost finished with step two, and that is came to believe in a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And now step three, we're going to be moving into made a decision. It's a decision, okay? There's not even an action yet until you get to step four, a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. But now, hopefully, even if you're not in a 12-step program, this is like life skills for people who are struggling with let go and let God kind of mentality, because or God consciousness, you know, being God awareness on a daily basis. So these are practical skills and ways and techniques that you can apply into your life, you know, awareness truths that can come into your mind and renew the mind and then be transformed in the way we handle things. That's the whole point. God wants us to seek him so that he can give us what we need for our soul. All right. Our spirit's whole. It's the soul that needs some conditioning, like little massaging from Holy Spirit, so that it can get the information, the right information, finally, so that the body can move properly. So, James,
we got to beat it into submission.
Yes. So, James, you want to pray?
All right, we'll pray. I'll pray out anyone out here that doesn't know the Lord and has been listening and feels a tug at your heart, and you'd like to ask him into your heart. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, Jesus died and rose the third day, you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. So repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my
sins. I know you died for my sins.
And you rose the third day.
And you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I surrender totally to you.
I surrender totally to you.
And accept you as Lord of my life.
And accept you as Lord of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And
amazing.
If you prayed that prayer and you want to come call into the station, call in and just give a praise report.
Yes, for sure. Give a praise report. So we agape you. Shalom, shalom. Talk to you next week.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love, all the glory to the God of love. No heart can fully know. I will.